Good morning, and welcome to another Tuesday edition of the Community Conversations / Morning Show Hybrid Stuff with hosts Phil Huff and Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie. How are you?
Good morning, Phil. That was an eloquent description of our current morning show status. I really liked it. Well, I'm fine.
It gets lists tumbling and tripping every time. And yeah, hey, if we didn't think it was before, it surely is summer now. You know the three sure signs that it's summer?
Tell me.
Number one, it's hot. And I think even though we're pre-recording this, it's going to be safe to say by the time it plays, it's going to get even hotter.
And yes.
The other is summer solstice, and I want to hear how you explored yours. And the third is coming into town this morning. It sure felt like the Friday before a long 4th of July weekend with all the traffic. The people just streaming in are nonstop.
I'd agree with all of those sentences and statements, Phil, and I'll add a couple of more. I, as many of the listeners know, I live south of town. I'm on about 10 acres, and our hay got mowed yesterday, and it seems awfully early for that. I always think that's happening maybe in July, so it's a dry and a hot early summer, late spring.
It is, and so Deb and I over the weekend, to celebrate the solstice on Sunday, hiked up the Gold Hill Trail, which Tom is completely clear. No need for any additional work right now. Well packed down and trod. And you know, that seasonal stream that runs usually through about late July, early August is bone dry. And it's early June. And that's just 2 months early.
Yes. And Phil, you know this because you're involved with Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness, but I was a trail ambassador on the longest day of the year last Sunday. And it was pretty dry. It was a pretty dry hike up Scotchman. So it is dry everywhere.
Yeah, that was a long day, not just because of the daylight hours, but the length of time up and down the peak.
It's a long hike, that's for sure, but a beautiful hike.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so, well, I think it's time to introduce some guests, Phil, and I'm going to do it. So we are all about the 4th of July weekend today, and because of that, we've invited two guests who've got big events happening over the weekend. And the first one is Dee Trenbeth. Dee is the president of the Bonner County Gardeners Association, and we're going to be talking about the annual garden tour. Hello, Dee.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks for joining us. And our second guest is Tom Dabrowski. Tom's a fairly frequent visitor on our show because he does so darn many things in the volunteer world. And Tom, in your the hat you're wearing today is that of past president for Sandpoint Lions Club. Hi, Tom.
Hello, Julie and Phil and Dee. It's nice to see you all.
Yes, it is via Zoom. Well, we're going to be talking about 4th of July celebrations, and we'll start by asking you just a bit about yourselves, and we'll start with you, Dee. I think it's your first time joining us here on KRFY, so tell us a bit about you, how you came to be here in Sandpoint, and how you got involved with the gardeners.
Sure, Julie. We moved to Sandpoint in, actually Dover, in 2019. We came up here to visit some friends and fell in love with the location and sold our home and made the trek up, went through a process of home building for a year and a half, which was exciting, and just moved in this past January and love it. Just love it here.
Well, welcome to the neighborhood, literally and figuratively, and welcome to the morning show. How did you get involved so quickly with the garden tour?
Well, I'm kind of a backyard gardener, so to speak. For a number of years, I say I kind of got the gardening gene from my father, but wanting to learn about the environment here in Idaho, definitely very different from where we lived previously, and wanted to also meet people in the community and be part of the community, and that's a big piece of what the Bonner County Gardening Association does.
Very good.
All right, so let's move on to you, Tom, for a minute, and tell us give us a snapshot of your history in the area and how you've become over the many years involved with the Lions Club.
Oh, Julie, I'm so old. If I tried to do a snapshot of my whole history, it would take the entire time. But anyway, just suffice to say that This next Thursday, my wife and I will have been married for 54 years. And before she said that she would, she made me promise when I retired, we would move to the Sandpoint area. Gee, what a hardship, huh? And so when we moved here, she then explained that I really wanted to volunteer to help local organizations. And we're involved in lots of those organizations here locally and statewide. But the one I want to talk about today is the Sandpoint Lions Club, chartered in 1953. And in 1953, the Sandpoint Lions Club did the first Sandpoint Independence Day celebration. And so what I'm going to talk about today is the Sandpoint Lions Club Independence Day celebration.
Now, very good. In 1953, what we fondly call City Beach was just in its infancy, wasn't it?
That's correct. It was just basically a twinkle in some folks' eyes, and the Sandpoint Lions Club was instrumental in going down and building a bunch of the facilities, worked with the city to make the beach, as we know it, built a pavilion and a number of other facilities. So long history of public service here in the community. And as you know, the Lions Club does many things here, including toys for tots and Easter egg hunts and lots of activities. But one of the big ones that we do is the Independence Day celebration.
Very good. Dee, I'll go back to you for a moment and ask you to tell us just a little bit more about the Bonner County Gardeners Association, their focus, and generally what they focus on, and then we'll move on to the upcoming garden tour.
Oh, sure. Bonner County Gardening Association is a group of gardeners. We are science-based as far as our gardening approach. Education, camaraderie, and community are our three main focuses. We do have a good-sized membership, and we focus in the Bonner County area, of course. Our gardeners all have to have a basic level of gardening education. We have our Bonner County Gardening Association membership class, or they can take a class through the Master Gardener program at the U of I Extension. But we want to have everybody on a similar level as far as their gardening expertise, or at least that have the basic foundation to just help support each other and be able to have a, you know, common ground as far as the kind of gardening and that we want to share with others in the community. But we also are very strongly education focused, not only for our own members, but also for the community as well. We have fall and spring home hort classes, our membership class, of course, which is a wealth of information, and pretty much follows similarly to the U of I Extension Master Gardener program as well. So that's a really strong component of ours.
Yes. And you also have events. I know you have field trips, and you're also a social club.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. The social aspect is very strong in our organization. We really enjoy being with each other and having fun together. As a matter of fact, we just had our first potluck. It was just wonderful. There was about 20 of us we all came together outside. We kept it outside, but just to be able to gather together. And that is really an important part of our membership. And even in the community projects we do, it's, you know, part of that is just the camaraderie of all of us being together and, you know, being able to do something beneficial for the community. Yes, that's a good part of it. Our community events, the upcoming garden tour, of course, which is what my focus is on today as far as sharing that, that's coming up on July 3rd. We're super excited about that. Again, another event that we had to put on hold last year. So it's kind of fun to be back out in the community again.
And for the many people in the community, I think the garden tour is one of the things they think about first if they think about the Bonner County Gardeners Association. How long has it been around, and how did it come about as a result of all of the things you've talked about, the main focuses of the Garden Association?
Well, That's a really, really good question. And I've actually done a little bit of inquiry about it. And so far, I haven't gotten tons of details. So that means it's been going on for a very long time. That was, you know, as far as the date, you know, to get a little bit of history. I would have to imagine that it was probably the brainchild of one of our past or maybe current gardeners, but just again, another way to be out in the community, to be able to showcase. There's so many beautiful residential gardens in the Sandpoint area. Although we extend out, we have gone out into Hope and other areas as well. But I think it's just that ability, again, gardening related, and just something to be able to say, hey, look at what our community is doing and our residents and the kind of gardening that they're doing, and vegetable gardens and flower gardens, and being able to showcase that. And it, you're right. We had, took part of the farmers market this past Saturday, and 90% of all the questions were not, gee, what about my tomato plants, or, you know, something like that. It was, hey, I hear that garden tour is coming up. So definitely the community is excited about it.
Yeah, I think it's a high point for many people in the community, and it's well attended. The question I have is about the homeowners for the garden tour. Are they all members of the Bonner County Gardeners?
No, actually, they can be, and we have had our members, you know, showcase their gardens throughout the years. But most of the time, I've been the committee chair. I started in 2019. But most of the gardens are actually just residential gardens that our own members have seen in the community and say, hey, check out this garden. Some folks we know, and we'll ask them if they want to be part of the tour. But a lot of it is just driving past or residential gardens in our own neighborhoods that are just really special that we would like to showcase.
Yeah, it's really neat. Well, I'd like to just launch into a description of some of them. How many are there?
Sure. We have 6 residential gardens and then 1 community garden. We showcased a community garden in 2019. And as the garden tour committee kind of talked about it, it's really nice to showcase a community public garden, or actually possibly even next year we might focus on one of the elementary schools that we partner with as far as our gardening for the school children. But it is nice to have that kind of garden as well as the residential garden. So in a nice variation. A couple of them, well, all of the, we work with the residents to help get wonderful names for their gardens. And obviously the owners of the property do that because it's something personal to them. One of our gardens is just a plethora of roses. And so his garden, he's on Division Street, is called Roses, Wonderful Roses. And some of his roses are quite old, but beautiful and tall and just, you know, just lovely to see. Another garden we have, it's the Clow O'Neill property. It's the Sanctuary at the Pier in Pacific. And folks might be familiar with that garden because of the little Third Street pier that we have there. It's the corner property that has been a beautiful garden for many years that is now being brought back to its former glory. Another garden that we have, actually a couple of gardens over on that side of town, is Mary Tolan's strolling garden on Birch Street. She has just a wonderful design, including a rock labyrinth that is very meditative and really fun and cool to see. Ray Charlton's property on Euclid is the Tranquil Retreat. She's just done wonderful things, not only with her flowers and perennials and some of the other larger plants that she has, but also some of the architectural kind of structures and artistic things that she's had commissioned through the years is just very, 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 very neat to see. She has one actually, and it sits out in the corner. You can see it when, if you drive past the street, it's Lady Flora. That sometimes in the winter will have her scarf around her, or in the fall and spring when the rains are coming, we'll have her yellow slicker on. So that's a really fun wire piece that is very, very fun to see. We have the Pollinator's Paradise over on Walnut Street. Gosh, that such a variety of plant materials there, and just beautiful to see. And our South Sandpoint Solis on Superior, they have a wonderful garden as well as a good sized vegetable garden. And the community garden that we're showcasing this year is the Christ Our Redeemer Lutheran Church Community Garden. And that one is particularly special just because they are also part of the, it was inspired to help the community and those who might be experiencing some type of food needs and just create more of a healthy lifestyle and not be so worried about maybe food insecurity, that kind of thing. But it was started and with grant money and the members of the church, and it basically is a public garden that anybody can go into that garden, and if they are needing food or just having some food, needing food assistance, that way can go in and actually harvest. There's fruit trees in that garden. There's, obviously a lot of vegetable beds and that kind of thing. So it's just a really neat community community outreach that the church is doing. And my understanding is that Cedar Hills also granted money for some of the building and the installation of that garden, besides a Sandpoint grant that came out through the High Five Community Transformation Grant.
Yeah, well, Dee, what a succinct and really well done summary of the gardens that'll be included in this year's tour. Tell us a bit more about the details, such as you already mentioned it's July 3rd, but the hours, if there's a fee, how people get involved, how people get tickets, how they do the tour.
Before we launch into the details, I do want to say, knowing a few of those properties and the owners, they're truly some iconic properties themselves, not just the garden landscaping, but the structures, some of the history and the architecture of the structures are very diverse and very interesting. And you are whetting my appetite to go. And usually I have my wife and my mom represent on those, but.
Yeah. Well, what's so fun about the garden tours? One, I just think that it's such a blessing that we have residents that are willing to open their homes and their exteriors, but to open up their residences to have, we probably average 300 to 400 people, each year. So that's a lot of people, visiting your property in one day. But you're right. There's such a variety, the architectural pieces of it, the softscape, of course, with all the, different landscaping. But people really can get a wealth of ideas and a lot of good, information too, and ideas for their own garden, but also for some of the architectural things like you're talking about. Whether it's their patios or shade structures and how they choose to put their garden together in the confines of their home and working together to make it a beautiful, beautiful residence. And all yes. very unique too.
I've said this to you before, Phil, but I always leave that tour with a feeling of inspiration and desperation because they look so wonderful, but oh my gosh, you can just see the hours and hours of work that have been, put into these lovely, lovely gardens. I don't know if I'll ever get there, but it is inspirational.
It is tiring just looking at it all.
Well, and it's very inspirational too on the resident side, just giving them a lot of kudos because of course they want their yards, their properties to look extra special. So I know that there's the more than average work that gets put into, you know, definitely a labor of love. And again, we're just so appreciative that they're opening up their properties to us for this. Yes. But well, details as far as the date, obviously July 3rd, and we found that we had it around the July 4th holiday last 2019 when we did the tour, and worked out really well because people coming in town for the 4th of July celebration and fireworks and, you know, coming up to visit friends and family and people on holiday over the 4th of July weekend really gave us an opportunity to have people visit that maybe are a little bit more out of towners, you know, rather than just our local folks. So hopefully that will be maybe we'll kind of be a part of the 4th of July big celebrations, you know, if this works out for the timing, you know, for the flowers. The tour itself is from 10 to 4 and people can purchase tickets. The tickets are $15 per person. They can be purchased at the garden and it is a self-guided tour. So you can start at whichever garden you want and figure out your own path as far as how you're going to navigate the 7 properties. Or they can buy tickets online through our website. And we have a beautiful website, by the way, with tons of information. Gardening information and education kind of pieces to it, as well as our events. But you can go online at bcgardeners.org and you can purchase tickets there. And we will have a list of all of our the people who have purchased tickets from the website. And that'll be at all the gardens. And then we'll just give them their ticket when they get there. They obviously have already paid.
Okay. And where does the $15 per person go? To the Bonner County Gardeners?
Well, it goes to our organization. Again, we're a nonprofit 501c3 organization. And again, our community outreach and the projects that we do, the gardening tour is one of the largest one of the largest fundraisers that we have to help our nonprofit. Because we do a fair amount of work as well as monetary donations to other gardening and beautification projects. So we've supported the Cedar Street Bridge Shops project inside there with planter boxes. We've donated money to the Veterans Wall at the Hope. They were putting in a new garden there in the Hope community. We also support 6 or 7 elementary schools with their school gardening and supplies and that kind of thing. Some of it comes from the schools, but we've also put, you know, money toward that. We put money to the city of Sandpoint for the hanging baskets that you see around town. So we have 5 of the baskets in Farm and Park. So the money just kind of gets fed back into the community in one form or the other.
That's great.
Very worthwhile group. Well, we have lots of stuff coming up on the 4th. It looks like it's going to be a really busy weekend, Julie. And after you've gone through all of the garden tour on Saturday, we're going to turn our attention to the actual 4th of July Independence Day celebrations. And Tom, that's your cue to tell us a little bit more about what the Lions Club are planning for the 4th.
All right, Phil. The Independence Day celebration is going to occur on the 4th of July. And you might say, well, duh, isn't that normal? Many years in the past, when it fell on a Sunday, we had it on a different day. So that people could go to church in the morning and that kind of thing. And we got tremendous pushback from the community. So I just want to make clear that the Independence Day celebration this year is on Sunday, July 4th. And the whole purpose of this celebration is to celebrate and appreciate our independence. And so we focus on kids, and I'll talk more about that in a few moments. And we focus on fun. What this is about is having fun. So we're going to start that at 9 a.m. downtown, and the parade route I'll talk about in a few minutes. Starting from the city parking lot, we're going to have a children's parade. And so bring the kids their bikes and wagons and decorations and whatever. Every child will get a goodie bag with some treats in it. And they'll then walk down church, down to First, up First, and then make a left there on Main and come back up to the city parking lot. So people down on First will get to see all the kids and all of their wagons and bikes that are decorated. Then at 10 o'clock, the Main parade starts, and the Main parade goes again down church from Fifth, where I'll be starting the parade, and goes down church, down to First, to Cedar, makes a left on Cedar, and goes up that way. And I mentioned the parade route for those folks that haven't been in town before to watch the parade. It's a good idea to get there early, get your chairs set up, and this 4th of July looks like it's going to be pretty hot. So find a nice shade tree and a place to wait in the shade. So in any case, Main parade at 10 o'clock, and usually it's over by about noon. It looks like we're going to have lots of entries this year. To be in the parade, there is a fee, a registration fee. It's $25. And if you wait till the day of the parade, it's $35. You can get an application by emailing the Sandpoint Lions Club at sandpointlions@gmail.com. Or you can come to the Lions Den there by the museum. And we have a bunch of the Lions or the parade applications on our door. Or you can go to the B and ask for an application there. So that's how you apply for the parade. We welcome all different kinds of floats and people in the parade. We have 9 categories that we give awards for, including forest products, military, old vehicles, that kind of thing. So lots of fun. And the theme this year is It Takes a Village. And then our grand marshal of the parade is essential workers. And we want to celebrate and appreciate those folks that took care of us during the COVID. And there's going to be some fun examples of essential workers. And I will mention ahead of time, you may even see a wagon being pulled by some kids and the wagon full of toilet paper. So anyway, we're going to sort of remember some of the events from the pandemic, but also to celebrate the folks that helped take care of us. And please remember, it's going to be hot. So bring plenty of water and stay hydrated. For those people who are going to be in the parade, same thing, bring water. But I will tell you that we partner with the Sandpoint Elks Club. They're going to bring their golf carts, and they will be going around through the parade, passing out water to the folks that are in the parade. So, but again, a reminder, it's going to be hot. And if you're there on parade day and you're looking for a place to sit or you need help with anything, look for the Sandpoint Lions members in the red vests and just talk with us, and we'll tell you where the best places are to sit. So
Tom, would you describe the parade route in some detail? Because of course last year there was a whole different thing that happened, and 2 years ago and maybe even 3, there was road construction and stuff that slightly altered the start, finish, and route, if I recall. So
that's
a good
refresher
for everybody.
Yeah, and it, as I said, Phil, the parade starts right there at the corner of Church and Fifth, and then it goes, that would be east on Church, down to First, makes a left, turning north on First, goes up past the judge's station. So that's where you want to be particularly sharp. And then makes a left on Cedar and goes west on up to Fifth Street, where the parade ends. And then we'll give instructions to the parade entrance, which ways to turn and that sort of thing. One of the challenges we have is with 2 hours of parade folks marching and floating down that route, we have to keep the thing moving so we don't get plugged up. So we'll have lions there directing people at the end of the parade. So that's the route. Then what will happen is families will go have their picnics and do family things in the afternoon. Lots of people will be down at City Beach. At dusk, we're going to have the fireworks show down at City Beach. This will be the largest fireworks show Sandpoint has ever had, ever. And so it's going to be a big show. It's going to be very impressive. And again, starts at dusk. Lots of great places to sit down there at the beach. And one of the things I wanted to mention, I think this is particularly important this year. For those of you who get out in our forests or fields, you've noted how dry it is. And the Idaho Department of Lands has reported that they've already responded to 104 fires so far this year on Idaho land, not Forest Service land, but Idaho Department of Lands land. 104, 94% of those were caused by human beings. So here's a plea for everyone. Please don't use private fireworks out in the forest or out on in fields, because we're at great danger for forest fires this year. I know 2 weeks ago, I happened to be on a hike starting from my Forest Service campground, and unbelievably, somebody had left a campfire burning and they were gone. So that campfire was unattended. So please, folks, be careful with fire. I can promise you a great fireworks show. Come down to the beach.
Yes, I agree. You know, fireworks, big fireworks shows are the best anyway. You can hang out with friends and not have to do the work and worry about people getting hurt, messing around with fireworks. Tom, I'm going to add that I had a small fire on my property this year already, and it wasn't me. It was my neighbor who had done a burn pile, thought it was out and left for the day. And lo and behold, it wasn't out, and it spread across his property onto mine. So I had a visit from the Idaho Department of Lands guys. Not fun.
It is so bone dry throughout most of the West. I was just reading this morning that almost 40% of the Arizona trails closed because of fires right now. And Tom, the Whitney portal, the main route up to Mount Whitney is closed because of the Indio fire. And the National Weather Service is predicting this heat spell in the next week to be the longest, hottest, driest heat wave we've had in recorded history in the inland Northwest. So
I know. Well, what I wanted to do, Phil, was I had discussions with IDL, the Idaho Department of Lands folks, and with the U.S. Forest Service people. They're doing their absolute best to protect us from human beings. And with most fires being started by humans, the plea is please be careful with fire this year. We'll give you a great fireworks show down at the beach, so you don't need to do it at home in the forest.
Yeah, very good. Well, we've heard about a very exciting 4th of July weekend from both the Bonner County Gardeners and from the Lions. Phil, what else?
Well, I don't know. It's for many people, and Tom brought up a good point. I'm glad you reiterated when the parade and the activities and fireworks are happening. And many people will be celebrating right on through Monday since it's a holiday. So it is a designated holiday for many people. So it'll be a long weekend. A great opportunity to get out and do some of the things that we cherish here in North Idaho. As always, I encourage public lands, whether it's hiking or paddling. We have a wonderful selection of sports to choose from. And I say with the heat, the paddling actually has a strong appeal for many people, including myself, although I'm a hiker at heart.
Yes, it's going to be a weekend for the beaches also. I can imagine they'll be quite full everywhere.
Well, Julie and I want to thank you both for coming on the show. As always, we'd love to hear about upcoming events. And Dee, if there's things happening later in the summer or fall, please feel free to let us know a little bit ahead of time so we can have you back on. And Tom, of course, knows that. We don't even need to extend that invitation to him right now. We know he'll be back. This is the community conversation / morning show. As always, if you tuned in midway and missed part of it, you can go to krfy.org and download the podcast, usually within the same day or so. We are mostly a volunteer-driven effort at the station. But we want to thank Dee Trenbeth from the Bonner County Gardeners Association and Tom Dabrowski from the Lions Club for participating in today's show. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.